of the Holy Ghost that will fill this church, that will fill every place this message is heard. That in the wonderful name of Jesus, we can receive, understand, and apply what the Spirit has for this church and this ministry in the days ahead. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. I want us to start in the book of Exodus chapter 7. We'll start with verse 1. Exodus 7, verse 1. For those watching online, hopefully you've already seen the ad for Easter Sunday. It is coming up shortly on the 31st of March. If you're within driving distance of this church, we would love to see you this coming Easter, 10:30 a.m. on March the 31st. Also, for those watching in other time zones outside the United States, the clock change in the United States begins Sunday. So what we see will be church starting an hour. Let's see if I get this right. This is always confusing. An hour later. So be prepared. Those who are watching live, an hour later, starting on Sunday morning. How many are in Exodus chapter 7? Exodus chapter 7. Let's start with verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, lowercase g, and Aaron thy brother shall be your prophet, verse 2. Ye shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he may send the children of Israel out of his land. In that line, we actually have the definition of a prophet. A prophet is a spokesman. In this case, Aaron is the spokesman for Moses. The Lord would give his word to Moses. Then Moses would give the word to Aaron, and then Aaron would speak the words to Pharaoh. As we moved along in these accounts, we see that Moses begins to do more of his own speaking as we move along. But the point still applies. God gives his word to his messengers, the prophets. Then the prophet is to give that message to the people. When a prophet is prophesying, he is giving the message. The message itself is called prophecy. Let's keep that in the back of our minds as we move along. So what is a prophet? One who receives a message from the Lord. Then they give that message to the people that God wants to hear the message. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, usually when a prophet is giving a prophetic message, it is to a specific audience. If you look from this point, really going forward throughout the rest of the Old Testament, there is a specific audience for each prophetic message. Some, it could be personal. Go prophesy to Pharaoh. Some, prophesy to the children of Israel. Some to smaller groups. Some to larger groups. Some to nations. But usually there is a specific audience for a prophetic message. In this case, the message is for who? Pharaoh and the Egyptians. There is a specific audience for prophetic messages. Are we together on this? Now, Let's move on a little bit tonight. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. What's a prophet? A prophet is what? One who receives the message of the Lord, then one who gives the message of the Lord to a specific group of people. Now, let's make this point clear before we look at Deuteronomy 18. A prophetic word can contain a message about the future. But a prophetic word can also be any message God wants to deliver to a specific person or to a group of people. The message does not have to deal with future events. It could deal with present events. If you look at a lot of the Old Testament prophecies, a lot of it was simply this: you've sinned, repent. That is a prophetic message. Why? It comes from God to the prophet, given to the people. A prophetic message is simply a message that comes from God, received by the prophet, given to the specific audience God wants the message to go to. Are we together on this? Prophecy can be about the future, but it can also be about things present or doctrinal truths or any issue like that. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Notice that the word prophet in our King James is capitalized. Now, what is a prophet? One who receives a word from God. Then they give that message to the people. Who is the prophet? His name is Jesus. If you look at the Gospel of John thoroughly, you will find out that God the Father gave specific messages to Jesus for Israel. He will always use in the Gospel of John a line like, "My Father sent me. I heard what my Father said. I deliver the message to you." Jesus operated in his earthly ministry from the moment that John baptized him until the moment he enters the Garden of Gethsemane in a prophetic office. Let's go one step a little further. From the moment that God raised Jesus from the dead and he begins to deal with his disciples once more, he is back in a prophetic ministry, teaching them prophetic truth. So Jesus, when he was here on earth, from baptism to going into the Garden of Gethsemane, when the events of the cross really begin, and then from the resurrection going through the rest of his ministry, Jesus really operated in a prophetic office, as was prophesied by Moses. For what? The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me, like Moses. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 16. According to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." Verse 17. And the Lord said unto me, "They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Who is the one putting the words in the mouth of Jesus? God the Father. So what is Jesus doing when he comes to earth? Book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I want to look at the first line and the last line in verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, hold. A prophet can only prophesy or deliver a prophetic message with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. For a prophet to prophesy, or for a gift of prophecy to be in operation, the Spirit of the Lord must be present. Are we together on this? A prophetic word requires the Spirit of the Lord. It is an absolute must. It is the Spirit of the Lord that will give the prophetic message its strength and its power. We cannot convince anyone of anything when it comes to a prophetic message. But the Spirit of the Lord can do this. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that's going to say to the person, "This is, thus saith the word of the Lord." We might say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." But the Spirit is the one who is going to drive home the point. This is, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." Are we together on this?
Amen.
Let's keep going here. What was the next line? "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now let's hold there for a second. Preach. Let's look at the last line, verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus begins by quoting Isaiah, and each is bookended with the word preach and preach. Now, what is Jesus preaching? I do not say the words of my own. I only speak what the Father has given me. Jesus said that over and over again in the Gospel of John. My message is not my own. It is the message given to me by God the Father when I was with him in heaven. So, what Jesus is doing, he is preaching the message that God the Father gave him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are we together on this?
Amen.
So, what do we see? Preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus is proclaiming in a prophetic message the gospel to those who had not yet heard the gospel. Jesus ministering with a prophetic anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Back to the prophetic message. The beginning of Jesus' ministry, preach. The end of Jesus' ministry, preach. Now notice, in between preach and preach is what? Heal, deliverance, recovery. When the message is preached with a prophetic anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then the rest of these things are going to happen. First and foremost, Jesus was a proclaimer of the prophetic word given to him by his Father. Are we together on this?
Amen.
The Sermon on the Mount, the parables, the Olivet Discourse, the message of the Holy Ghost before Jesus went to the cross. These were, in essence, major prophetic messages given by God to Jesus, who then delivered these messages to mankind. These were prophetic words. Now, with the word of God going forth, what accompanied these prophetic words coming from God the Father through Jesus? These signs shall follow. Healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. For example, let's look at the feeding of the 5,000 for a moment. We know about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. We know about the 5,000 meals. We know the boy went home with 12 basketfuls of fragments. We know all of this. But what did Jesus do before this miracle happened? He preached the gospel. He taught the word. You see, when the word goes forth, when the prophetic word goes forth, the word of the gospel with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, these signs shall follow. But the prophetic word becomes key and important in all of this. Are we together on this? Those two things will work together, but the prophetic word usually goes forth first. Why? Because the message that God has for mankind is His word given to Jesus, then to us. The prophetic word goes forth first. Are we still here? Now let's move back to the book of Luke, book of Mark, 16th chapter. Let's set the stage for what's going to be the day of Pentecost. Mark chapter 16. The first line in what would be the Great Commission, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the message given to the church by Jesus, who got the message from God the Father. So God the Father, through Jesus the Son, to us. Now, what are we operating in? A prophetic office. Why? Because there's going to be a heavy, powerful anointing of the Holy Ghost when the gospel is preached. The gospel and the anointing must go together. The prophetic anointing is when the word of God goes forth as given by God through Jesus to the church with Holy Ghost power. Are we still here? Now let's move forward. Preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, what came first? Verse 15, correct? Preach the gospel, prophetic anointing. Then what happens? These signs shall follow them that believe. Those who are preaching the gospel with the prophetic anointing of the Holy Ghost. These signs shall follow them that believe. First is a prophetic anointing for the preaching of the gospel. Then comes an anointing for signs and wonders that follow. Are we together on this?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will anoint for the Word to go forth, because the Word is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul said. The gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So the Word always in the mind of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be first and foremost, because this is the power of God unto salvation. The signs and the wonders, they back up the prophetic anointed Word of God. Are we still here?
Hallelujah.
Now, follow with me to the book of Acts. What happens in Acts chapter 1? Jesus ascends back to the Father. He tells His believers what? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon Him. So first we see what? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So first comes baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then comes power. Keep that order in the back of your mind. Acts chapter 2 verses 1, 2, 3, 4. What happened? Believers receive baptism in the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. This is the initial sign that one is baptized with the Holy Ghost. Are we together on that?
Amen.
This becomes important as we move along through the message. Then what happens? The believers begin to speak fluently in the languages of those in and around the area on Pentecost Sunday. So those nearby, they are hearing basically what for the believers would be tongues, a language they could not speak otherwise, a specific prophetic message was going forth. I would say interpretation, but for those who were listening, they needed no interpretation. They understood it thoroughly, what was being said. The wonderful works of God. A prophetic word was going forth from the believers to those who were listening. The wonderful works of God. So what do we see? These signs shall follow them that believe. First, they speak in tongues. They're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then, using the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, those around are hearing about what? The wonderful works of God. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. But then what follows shortly thereafter? Prophecy. Are we together on this? This is the flow that we're seeing. Now, what happens next? The people, what is going on here? Some, they're a bunch of drunks. Peter, what does he say? Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, hold, beginning a prophetic anointing on Peter. He is able to preach this message under a prophetic anointing. Let's move on. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Time out. What just happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, 4? I will pour out my spirit. And what was the proof? Speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So first, poured out spirit. Evidence, speaking in tongues. Then what follows? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What is prophesy? This is the gift of prophecy, but it's still basically the same thing. The Father, through the Son and the Spirit, gives a message to a person. And then that person gives the message to those who are listening. In this case, the intended audience was what on the day of Pentecost? Those who were nearby. Those who spoke the specific languages. They were the target audience of the Spirit. What do we see? Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Evidence in speaking in tongues. Now what? They are prophesying, gift of prophecy. When we receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, when we have the initial evidence, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. What did Joel say would happen next? They shall prophesy. Now let's go back to what Jesus said. He said what? Ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The second part of that, obviously, Acts chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. How is the Spirit going to operate at first through the people? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The prophetic anointing ministering here becomes key. Why? We already said it. We said that the number one goal of the Spirit is to lead people to Jesus. The power-packed prophetic word will draw people to Jesus. Therefore, first, baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, initial evidence. Then what? My son, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Some might say, well, that's Israel. Okay, fine. Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This definitely is referring to the Gentiles in the days to come. Now, what do we see here? First comes what? Baptism in the Holy Ghost. Evidence, speaking in tongues. Then what? They shall prophesy. The Lord will give a message. And then that message must be given to the people. Keep your finger in Acts 2. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's start with verse 1. Follow after charity, agape love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, hold. Do the Corinthians already speak in an unknown tongue? Absolutely. Paul will establish that fact clearly. In this chapter, there are those that are of the mind that Paul is saying, do away with tongues. Absolutely not. Paul is very clear here. The believers should speak in tongues. He even goes through the order how this should be done in this unruly, undisciplined church. But what was the point Paul made in verse 1, that ye may prophesy. Now, does this church already baptized with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Are they speaking in tongues? Paul will make this clear. Absolutely. What is Paul's message? To move from tongues to prophecy. From move to one gift to another. Now, so we're all on the same page. In first grade, you learned how to add, correct? And then you learned how to subtract. You moved on from adding to subtracting. But did we ever give up on adding? Absolutely not. We continued to add over and over again. We just built on the adding and added subtracting. You go all the way up to 13th grade, college calculus. And you're still using the basic same principle, adding. You have never truly put away adding. Adding is the base for math. You cannot get there, calculus, without that foundation, adding, subtracting. Are we together on this? Now, Paul begins. Foundation, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Foundation, speaking with tongues, with interpretation in the church, as the Spirit gives utterance. On top of that, moving further along into maturity becomes the prophetic word, gift of prophecy. Why? Paul stressed throughout that chapter, the gospel must go forth. And for the gospel to go forth, there must be a prophetic message given in the church. That thus saith the word of the Lord, given to the one operating in the gift of prophecy, then given to the people. Now, it can go beyond, obviously, the gospel message. It could be the truth that God wants to be revealed in that service on that occasion. But the way it happens is through the gift of prophecy. For those who have the prophetic call, it's still basically the same point. They receive the saith the word of the Lord, then they give that message to the people. And this is considered important. Why? Because this is how the gospel goes forth. Are we still here? Now, back to Acts chapter 2. What is the power gift that's in operation in Acts chapter 2? Not the upper room where they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but Peter's church service. His first outreach crusade. Gift of prophecy. This comes first. Why? Gospel needs to be preached with power anointing. The prophetic gift gives a power to the minister while preaching the gospel. Then what happens in Acts chapter 3? Man at gate beautiful, healed. So what is he getting at? He's getting at this. First, the prophetic gift was in operation. Then the Spirit begins to move to healing and miracles. First, the prophetic gift of prophecy must be established, because then the gospel is going forth. Then we see the foundation being built. Signs, wonders, healing, miracles. Are we together on this? The foundation of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. evidence of speaking in tongues, being led. Then what? Operating in gift of prophecy, just as Paul said, book of 1 Corinthians. Then church moves into signs, wonders, healing, miracles. The prophetic must be established. Then the signs and wonders will follow. The Spirit will move first and foremost through the prophetic preaching of the gospel. Prophetic meaning what? Message given by God to the people through the prophetic minister with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. These signs then shall follow them that believe. First, a prophetic word, gospel preached. And then signs, wonders follows. Acts chapter 19. Everyone still here? No one ran off to in and out tonight. Good. Acts chapter 19. We know the key line in verse 19. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The Ephesians said, we never heard of them. Then Paul made sure that these people were saved. Then what? He laid hands on them and they spoke with tongues and what? Prophesied. So what do we see? Paul, once he is sure that these Ephesians are saved. None of this matters if a person is not saved. Are we together on that one? Then he lays hands on them. They received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Evidence speaking in tongues. Then what happens shortly thereafter? They began to prophesy. What did Joel say? After you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you shall prophesy. Gift of prophecy. Why do you think Paul was stressing this? It's that important for a church to be operating in a prophetic anointing.
Amen.
Now, this ministry going forth from this point on, let us drive home this point. First and foremost, we are a prophetic ministry with the first prophetic message being Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him risen, Him coming again. Are we together on this? The power of the Holy Ghost will first operate when this message is preached. When the Spirit reveals what the message is going to be. Sometimes that could be boom, out of the boom, in the middle of the service. But more often than not, the Holy Spirit will reveal the prophetic word to a minister so it can be preached in the church. Are we together on this? The word that goes forth is thus saith the word of the Lord. Well, how do we know? The anointing will let you know if it is thus saith the word of the Lord. You see, when it's thus saith the word of the Lord, there is going to be a power anointing that will operate. Salvation, we call it conviction. It's really the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the prophetic Holy Ghost anointing filling the room. There are times when we receive a word of prophecy about what the Lord is about to do in the church. We celebrate. How do we know it's true? The Spirit reveals to us. that it is a true word. Sometimes it's about doctrine that has been confused in the church. The Spirit will reveal to us it is true. The Spirit is the one who's going to reveal the word of prophecy given in a church. Now, the prophetic word must go forth first. We want signs and wonders. Amen? Yet what was the flow in Acts 2? First they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then the prophetic word went forth. Then they began to operate in signs and wonders. The prophetic word, the prophetic anointing comes first. After all, there was a reason why Joel said, prophesy first. There's a reason why Paul stressed prophecy. Because this must come first. Because this is how the gospel will be presented. This is how church doctrine will be presented. This is how power gifts, baptism of the Holy Ghost, will be received. We need first power, the prophetic preaching of the gospel. This is what you need to seek right now. And once you have received this prophetic anointing, the gift of prophecy, prophecy in operation in the church, in some cases, yes, office of a prophet. When this is going forth with Holy Ghost power, it will rock the community. Now the signs and wonders that we crave will follow shortly thereafter. People will be healed. They will be delivered. They will be set free. But first, the power is for the anointed preaching of the word. So what I want us to do, what Paul said, decide that you prophesy. This is something we need. Well, I'm not a preacher. But you could be a witness outside of the church. And trust me, you're going to need that anointing, even in a quiet witnessing situation, where the Spirit will give you the words in which to say. You are receiving the word from the Lord through the Spirit. Therefore, you are what? Prophesying. Now, again, might not be about what's going to happen next week, but it will be about you need to repent right now and come to Jesus. This prophetic word, including the gospel, including discipleship, including the baptism of the Holy Ghost, including things that will follow, all of these areas, we need the power gift of prophecy. Because this is the first key gift. We receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We speak in tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. But then prophecy. So we can give this word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost so people's lives will be changed by the prophetic word of God, beginning with the gospel, continuing with discipleship, continuing until the whole church is edified, exhorted, and comforted. Let's stand across the church tonight. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.